What is self? What is self? What is self?
All right.
Man, what's up? How y'all doing? It's self. I'm just, you know, I'm an average everyday guy, but I'm an artist and a creator and someone who is, you know, daily trying to improve in life.
Bet. All right. Well, shit, we're just going to jump right into it. We don't need to beat around the bush. So I sent you some questions. One of the questions was three rappers that describe you. Tell me.
And I was, you know, I was at that and I was like, what? You know, when I saw that, I was like, this is a good question because you said rappers that describe me.
Describe you.
Usually, you know, I'm a rapper myself. I didn't include that in the intro, but I've always rapped. And so it's funny because sometimes you hear artists ask each other like, oh, what rappers do you feel like you rap like? But you said, what rappers describe me?
Yeah.
I got excited. I got excited because I'm like, I never asked that. I think, if anything, I could say rappers that describe me. First off, Busta Rhymes, right? Busta Rhymes.
Okay. Why Busta Rhymes? Why Busta Rhymes?
Because I know you want, and I'm going to break your neck, and, you know, I want to touch it. And she can pass the Kamashi, you know what I mean? And put your hands where I see. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, no, real shit though, Busta Rhymes is one of them because he is so, I think, misunderstood. He is one of the enigmas of the rap game. He's one of those artists that you couldn't really put him in a box. You couldn't really say he's this, he's that, but he's definitely colorful when it comes to his lyricism and in the way he illustrates in his videos. He's so outside the box and like just kind of like, it's not one dimensional. You never know what to expect with him, but you always satisfied.
That's super true, y'all. Like, y'all don't know, but AC took his senior picture, and then the message that he put on the picture was beastly. And I was like, what did you send this to the family? Like, what?
I know. I think I had a chain in my grill in there too, or something.
It was ridiculous. So Busta Rhymes makes sense for him being unpredictable. Because I was like, this is
unpredictable. It's over the top, right? And so then I would have to add in Jordan Lucas. Somebody that is newer in the game.
That Will Smith joint was dope.
Already said you weren't expecting that one.
No, I said that Will Smith joint was dope.
ADHD, you got that Will song, Will, man?
Yeah.
That's common. And not enough people are doing that. That's what's important. These young guys out here, that's why I respect Joyner. He's got a lot of recognition in his early time in the game. He's not even been in 5 years, I want to say, as a mainstream artist.
Yeah.
And shit, what I like about him, what most people don't know, first of all, Joyner, all the videos you've ever seen by him, he writes out the screenplay for the video, and then he goes and writes the song text.
That's dope. That's crazy.
That's a dope concept, right? And so I use him as somebody who described me because he is kind of intense with his opinions and some of his ideas and concepts when he's making these songs. He had a song called I'm Not a Racist. I think a lot of people, you know, heard that, saw the video, probably got rubbed the wrong way, or maybe not, but that's an example of how he's not afraid to say what I think needs to be said sometimes.
Right.
But he's very correct about doing it. I'm passionate about my beliefs, and I think he's one of those people that can describe me as a rapper. And then lastly, I had to really, it was hard, man, because you said three, and I was like, damn, shit. You know, you got so many, you want to, I was in the back of my head like, I said Lil Wayne, I don't want to be cliche though, right?
Right.
So I said Gucci Man. Gucci Man.
What?
Yo! Her, you know, I chose Gucci Man for a specific reason because.
Okay, tell me.
he went through a transition.
He did.
He went from being this like over exaggerated, you know, totally addicted, over compulsive, all these different things, right? Totally about self and he was, you know, totally unhealthy with a lot of his, you know, probably his diet, not even just the drug use, but a lot of life choices he was making were bringing him to a point where he could have, like, wasted or just fucked up all the greatness or gift that he has. You know what I mean? The good opportunity he has. And then he went through a dark time. Yeah, he made some choices that forced him to be in a position where he couldn't choose other than to improve himself, hopefully. And look what he came and did with that. And so I look at Gucci Mane, I say he could describe me as a rapper because he showed that transformation.
Right.
And kind of like shocked people. People see him doing stuff and they're like, was he a clone?
Yeah, people. Yeah, when he came out, everybody was like, "That's not Gucci Mane." They cloned Gucci Mane in jail, and I was like, "What?
What?" He changed so much. They said he's a clone. Like, I had chicks that I know real, real close, and they're like, "He's a clone."
Like, what are you talking about?
That's crazy. I mean, what about you? What one or three rappers would describe Brent?
So the first one would be Childish Gambino.
Oh, what? I like...
Yeah.
Damn, that's...
Yeah, just because... Well, because, like, one part of me is, like, with Childish Gambino, like, he'll just pop up and just be doing some... Like, he may show up as Donald Glover, and then he may be doing comedy, or he just pop up and do a TV show. And, like, I don't ever talk about the things that I'm going to do. I just do them, and then I just pop up, and people are just like, when'd you start doing that? And I'm like, I've been doing that. I've just been in the cut doing it. And so... You know,
exactly. I like
it's like Childish Gambino. Also, he's from Atlanta. He grew up in the hood, but like he doesn't like showcase, I guess, your typical hood person.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah,
and like,
I like
that. I'm from 102nd. I'm from East Oakland. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people know me, but like at this stage, like that's not what I'm leading with. You know what I mean? Like, people find out I'm from Oakland. Huh?
I was trying to think of somebody for that. I feel that I emulate with that, yeah. Right? And I was trying to think of a rapper for that. You did it way better than me. I couldn't figure it out. That's it, though. I like, because I feel that. We're both from Oakland. I'm from Oakland, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way, you have been an example of a person who came out of Oakland before me. I watched you. You was definitely around everything that I was, you know, that was around us.
Yeah.
Like all this mayhem, chaos. And exposure to whatever you want to do. You know, if you want to be out here saying fuck it, then, you know, it was out there
that.
For us.
You can do that.
You were a person who maintained creativity, progressiveness, and, you know what I mean? But still, you're cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have to say that because, like, it's not like that matters, right? But it does when you're talking about...
No, it does. It does. Like, no, I know what you're saying.
Growing up in the hood.
Yeah.
A person's perception of, like, what's coolness hella impacts their lifestyle choices growing up in an urban environment.
Oh, for sure. For sure it does. I mean, because you could go within and, like, not, I guess, get the style or the feel of the culture. It's a lot of people that's from Oakland who just, like, I'm not going outside. And you talk to them, like, are you sure you grew up in Oakland? Like, because you don't got... You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. The second person would be Action Bronson. Are you familiar with him? Yeah.
I know about Action Bronson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So Action Bronson, like he was a chef first. And
some people need to check him out. Y'all sleeping on Action.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He was a chef first, and so then he like got hurt and he couldn't cook anymore. And he found other...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he found, like... He started, like, rapping and doing other shit. And so, like, that's why he has, like, a food review show called, like, Fuck That's Delicious. You know what I'm saying? Where he's, like, critiquing food.
Fuck That's Delicious?
Fuck That's Delicious, yeah. Yeah. And if you listen to his shit, like, he's always bringing a food reference into his music. And so, like, that's my roots. I started with my first degrees in culinary arts. And so, like... Like, everything that I do out after that I've done has involved food in some way. Even this show is like black coffee. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's shit that you talk about while you drinking coffee, you know, or tea, whatever. Fuck, if you like leaf juice, you know what I'm saying?
So people like never lose sight of your root, never lose grips on what, you know, what kind of kicked it off, the foundation.
Don't forget where you come from.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's where the fire started, right? And you got to keep that fire burning.
Yeah, you do. And then my last one is I would say it's Kendrick Lamar. And it has nothing to do with his music, but it has everything to do with, like,
a lot of people have a different reason for him.
Yeah. It has everything to do with, for like, sure. Like Kendrick, if you listen to his music, like, if you cool, he's cool. But, like, if you get on some, like, some fuck shit, he has songs where he, like, flips the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I am. Like, I will be Donald Glover all day. I will be Action Bronson all day. You know what I'm saying? But, like, if we, you know what I'm saying, you mess with my family, or if you, like, really want to get into it, I'll fight you. I don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to fight you. I hope that we can resolve it in a different way. But, like, if you just need to get hit in the face, you know, for us to resolve it, then, like, you know, I guess we can do that. You know what I mean? Like, so that's why
So you feel like Kendrick represents being able to, like, adapt and adjust to whatever the scenario is.
Yeah. Yeah. If you listen, just listen to his, like, listen to his records. So he had, like, the first time I listened to him, it was Section 80. And then it was, like, Good Kid, Mad City. And then I think it was, like, to Pimp a Butterfly. Like, all those are aspects of Kendrick Lamar. Like, those are, like, one is, like, a social commentary of the hood. One is, like, a social commentary of black people. One is, like he was a part of, like even in Good Kid, Bad City, he got pushed far enough and then was like, fuck it. Let me go ride with my homies and, like, you know what I'm saying, like, get my payback. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't his first choice, but he was willing to take that dive. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
I see that. I get that. And that's cool, because when you said Kendrick, you said K-Dot. I totally did not see that reasoning behind it. Like, but now that you framed him in that way, I do see that. He does adjust to the audience. Right? He does adjust to the issue or whatever is going on currently in climate.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to look at, like, you heard the phrase, birds of a feather flock together, right?
Yeah, damn right.
So, like, if you look at his circle, right? His circle is J-Rock. His circle is Schoolboy Q. And Top Dog and Absol is in there sometimes, but, like, so you got three people who are, like, heavy, like, on some hood shit, and then you got him, and you're just like, he don't fit in. And it was like, he do fit in, but he just, that's not his first thing, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's not my first shit, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's elements.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so good. And so he's basically a good representation of versatility.
Yeah. I feel like that.
Okay. I like that.
So
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Action Bronson.
Yep.
Childish Gambino.
Yep.
Donald Glover.
Whichever one shows up. It depends on what I'm doing. So
that's cool.
So then, you know, talking about the music, there has been, I feel like, a shift that has happened with hip hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, where before, lyrics were, like, super important. And you can ask some people and they were like, oh, are lyrics still important? And you may hear yes or no. But, like, for sure, it's undeniable. The beats are dominating this decade. Hands down.
You think, alright. Can I add something in there? I mean, I think you, everything you said totally is true up to what you said about the beats dominating. I don't think the beats are dominating. I think one thing is dominating the beats right now.
What's that?
Swag. I think swag is still very fucking popular.
I mean,
I think swag matters more than anything. I think it's so scary how much swag matters. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the beat doesn't matter. I think the beat is definitely priority over someone's lyrics.
It is.
Oddly.
It's weird.
I think someone's swag is like Trump. It's like the fucking Ace of Spades. If your swag is on 1 million, it'll almost like, you know, soothe you, or what's it, it'll relieve you every you know, disease to your career. Like, if you're not really credible.
Here's where I disagree with that. Because, like, when you talk about swag, it's an individual thing, right? But, like, a lot of the artists that are out and popular right now, they don't have swag. They just copy what someone else has done. Like,
well, no.
Yeah, because, like, okay, no, because,
no,
look.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying that they're not copying what's being done. Now, yeah. Look, you are right. You got to, now listen, because when you say that, and when I say it, we got to take into account that factual, real definition of things is vastly different a lot of the time than what society's definition of something is, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, when I say swag, I know in the dictionary, swagger is the same thing as power. It is the ability or power to influence. That's what swagger is, really.
Right.
If you look it up in the dictionary, it's the ability
or
power.
You just gave me
influence.
A jail answer right there, dog. Go ahead, keep going.
Now if you're talking about swag on the street, yeah, they talking about the ability to influence, but it's people don't constantly think about how much you influence the people when they say swag. They thinking like how popping is you? How put together are you? How much you got your shit going?
Yeah, I guess that's the equivalent of swag. That's what I'm saying is like the Migos are influencing, like, all of Atlanta swag has a page out of the Migos book. All of it. Everyone
they
that does it.
They all got a page out of Gucci Man.
Exactly. And so what I'm saying is, like, everyone is, it's not really swag because it's not their style. It's like a dress code almost.
You're adding individuality into your personal definition of swag. Swag has nothing to do with, okay.
Everything is personal.
I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just like.
But I'm just not right. That's what you're saying.
100% agree. No. It's just like it's a little more complex than that. I'm saying it's more than a notion.
Okay.
The power of me having a lot of influence or impact over a mass of people, it usually makes sense logically that would start with some individual sensation or some type of gift or individual talent or skill that I hone in or have or mastered.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you look on today and find in reality, swag equals coolness, dude.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, real shit nowadays, it has nothing to do with individuality.
So you're saying that lyrics don't matter and beats don't matter, but just swag matters?
I feel like that. No. Not saying they don't matter.
Okay.
They don't matter as much.
So
if we were to build a ladder of priorities,
right?
The lyrics are like the last thing we give a fuck about. Because
clearly,
you know,
it's clear.
If you whatever you're talking about, hey, that motherfucker look cool. I know that. I know that shit. That shit look cool and it sounded good when the beat came on. Right? That's how people are so subconscious. They don't even realize that, right?
Yeah.
But they don't know the afterwards of the song. There's people that I've talked to about an artist or something, and then I'll tell them the truth about the artist. Like, well, yeah. Right. Or like how you talk about Action Bronson with the food. I bet people listen to his music and don't notice that.
No.
Or.
No.
Right? Or they might listen to Kodak, right? Kodak Black is a great example.
Okay.
An artist I love, right?
Right.
I love Kodak Black. All people, he's a very controversial artist, in my opinion. He's perfect for what we're talking about.
Right.
Because he has, in today's time, tremendous swag.
Right.
Nowadays, to me, swag equals designer, clothing, jewelry, expensive jewelry, and swag just means that people respect you, like where you're at or where you're projecting yourself. Like if your audience is here or whatever,
yeah.
If you got the respect of that audience, then you got swag, dude, because your clothes look good,
right.
You got jewelry, and you got chicks after you and dudes hating you. You got swag. And so Kodak is like, he's an epitome of that, but I chose him because I'm a listener of Kodak Black, and a lot of people hearing him, depending on the ear, Kodak offends people. I think on the like overall scale, he makes people feel uncomfortable and intimidated, and he makes, I think, you know, shout out Kodak, but I think a lot of conscious African-American people who listen to him or hear of him look down on him or look at him as a disappointment because they feel he's very ignorant, or they feel how he illustrates and projects himself is very ill-representing of black culture.
Yeah.
In regards to that,
yeah.
In regards to that, it's kind of contradictive. Like, I've talked about this with some people, they're like, I'd be like, well, he's talking about conscious stuff. He's talking about tunnel vision, or he's talking about, he mentions, I mean, it's typical, I guess, for rappers nowadays, even street rappers, to mention these conspiracy theories or how the government is not trustworthy.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
That's nothing new, right? But I like this one song he said, "Call Him a Spirit." And he was talking about how he's spiritual. And I felt like that was a little deep for an average trap rapper to be talking. He connected making his choices and having to change decisions in life and realize that, yeah, he came from street choices and, you know, easy money, fast money, but he realizing that something greater was calling him because he had some great to define himself.
Right.
I felt like that was a message that you don't hear after the street songs, right? And so he's that guy where he has all this swag. Is he using it right? I don't know. Because it seems like he has some knowledge. He even has some conversations with J. Cole, right? And J. Cole was talking to him. J. Cole was confused because he's like, you talking to you off the mic, I don't expect to get this from you when I listen to your songs. He said, I don't expect to get this wisdom. You know what I mean? And so yeah. J. Cole was saying, like, why don't you just spit about this shit? You know what I mean? And I think it's hard to do in our day of rap. Like, I'm a rapper, right? I think part of the reason why some conscious stuff or the lyricism has died down in importance in the song is because inevitably we were in a cycle where the music had lost its point. It used to be a storytelling device to inform us all and keep us current, and keep us with that burning desire, keep us with that backbone, right? Kind of like to give us that encouragement and help us to push through these civil environments and these civil blocks that was, you know, in our society as African culture, I think. You know, I mean, and the music spread out. It became an everybody thing. You know, we started blurring the lines where it's like we don't want to make it to the black thing because that's racist.
I think as a fan, I think that is like a complete cop out. Because it's like artists talk about the music like it's like they're not the music. Like you are the music. And so like
you are the music.
Whatever you put out is the music. And right now you're letting people, and I would say corporations, dictate what the music is instead of the artist. So like I feel like it's a cop out that people say, Well, we have to play this. And I was like, you don't have to play this. You don't have to play it because they need you. You don't need them. You can keep putting out the shit that you want. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get what you're saying, but like, I think it's, I don't agree with it.
I agree that it's a cop out for those who are signing these 360 deals, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. They got all these kind of deals out there now where, It's so fucked up. I wasn't saying that it's we don't have a choice.
Right.
That's what it sounded like. I was really trying to say more so that we have forgotten the purpose. And I'm saying we as in society, us, fans, the artists, because even some of the fans are the ones that become artists. We are inspired by past artists and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So the people, not the corporations, like you said, the people are the ones who have lost sight of the importance of it all and kind of like stripped themselves when we decided to, you know, and I don't say that rap isn't for everybody. I'm just saying that for black culture, it was our thing and for a long time. And we used it in a way to create different lifestyle that wasn't offered to us by mainstream entertainment
right.
of Hollywood or whatever the hell, right? We had our own kind of little we have the jazz part, all these different things, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about rap. I think we have lost sight and gotten to a point where maybe it started in that gangster rap period. Because, I mean, now you talk about music changing, right?
Yeah.
Even back in the day, like James Brown, you talk about Curtis, you know, is it Curtis? No, not Curtis,
Curtis
Blow.
Yeah, Curtis Blow.
These the breaks? These the breaks?
Oh, shit, I don't know who that is. I can't think of it. Yeah,
that's
go
not Curtis. That's not Curtis Blow.
Yeah.
But my point is, we reached a time where, you know, back then, it was, even Michael Jackson, all these music greats, it was always about standing out, individuality.
Yeah.
And like you said, now it's no individuality because the rules on individuality or standing out or being different have changed. Now the rules are you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I'm not saying there were specific rules written down before, but I think it was like a respect. And it was like largely downplayed, largely frowned upon if you sounded like anybody else. Like you came out performing and putting on like Michael Jackson, we're going to look at you funny. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
You come out here cutting up like James Brown. We're not listening to that because you are, now you're plagiarizing. That is no respect.
Right.
But now, we in a time where it's like, oh shit, you did it too, and you did it different, but it's, and our minds are not really paying attention to it. They didn't do it that much different. It's really the same.
No,
it's
yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah.
And so it's no more about what is being said. Now it's a competition between how radically different you could be within this same lane, though, of auto-tune. Or, you know, I'm trying to take care of my family. I ain't have shit. My mama and my family. But the same story. Whatever, right?
Yeah, it's the same story.
I love these bitches. It's all the same
story. But you do love them bitches, though. You love them bitches.
And there's a time where all this media is just easily transferred. It kind of like waters it down. So you can just upload and put your song out now. You got 1,000 fake listeners. Shit. No one's holding music like credible to sound or to quality anymore.
I mean, I still disagree with that, right? Because like if you have like, if let's say we're talking music, right? And of course, I always do like music to food. If we're listeners and you got like 10 listeners, right? And the only thing that you're giving them is fucking Top Ramen noodles. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to consume that bullshit music because I like new music. But if you give those same listeners like something lyrically that's unique, they're going to fucking eat that shit up too. Like that's the reason, because like we have people who like have taken that chance. Like, I don't want to sound like anyone else. Chance the Rapper, he came out with a completely different sound, talking about some other shit off of SoundCloud, and blew his shit up. You know what I'm saying? The whole weirdo shit. Like, I feel like I could be out of touch, but like Lil Uzi was the first person I saw with like that thick gold kind of like choke chain, and now everybody has that shit. You know what I'm saying? But like, that is like, that's him being who he is. That's Chance being who he is. Even fucking Young Thug, you know what I'm saying, with the shit he has, like he's not copying anybody.
And that's what I'm saying. You're agreeing in a way, because I'm like, everybody you're naming is extremely individual.
Yeah.
And I was saying that it's seldom that you see that now. I'm not saying that the individuality is like, is not valuable.
Uh-huh.
I was saying that, like you said, more often than not, people are fucking with the noodles.
Yeah, they are. They fucking with the noodles. Yeah, hardcore.
And so we're dealing with odds, right? Odds are there's a fucking minority group of conscious people, and the majority is dumb as shit. That's the odds. And so,
I guess I don't even need the person to be like conscious. Like, I just need them to be themselves. Be your same dumbass person.
Shit,
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to be conscious. So. You know what I'm saying? Like, just be your dumbass self.
Hold on. Because you're talking to me. Now you didn't really. This is like Batman and Joker when the. immovable force, unstoppable object, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You just said it's not about. What you say? It's not about.
It's not about being conscious.
Them being conscious or not. It's about them being themselves.
Being
what
themselves.
Is my show called?
Oh yeah. That's why you on the show.
So if they being self, they got. Man, tell me, does it take a lot to truly be yourself? Can you be clogged up and distracted and fucked off by media and
easy.
Outside ideas?
Easy. But it ain't shit in life that's it's not yourself? Shit in life that's easy though. You know what I'm saying? Like
No, I agree.
And so like if you chose to be an artist, then you have to deal with not only life shit, but media shit, which is harder. And so if you can't handle that shit, then you need to get the fuck off the pot.
That's for sure. But you said it has nothing to do with being conscious.
No.
That's shit. Self is consciousness.
I'm just saying, like,
being yourself,
you think, I'm just saying, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give you, it's an old school example. You think old dirty bastard was like, I'm about to rob this nigga just for my career? No, he was robbing niggas because that was his shit. That was who he is. And his music reflected that, and it was dope as fuck.
That's real. But I'm saying, don't you think being yourself, you have to know yourself. Knowing yourself, you gotta, you know, to be yourself, you gotta know yourself, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's consciousness.
I don't know, like, cause like
in
when you say,
in my opinion,
and you're, yeah, cause I'm just saying, like, you can say black consciousness, and like there was an era of conscious rap, like the Roots were in that, and hella people out of Philly were like that common, that's like conscious. So I assume that you were talking about that style of like J. Cole style rap. You know what I'm saying? Like that's conscious.
No,
that's
no,
conscious rap.
No, conscious means like you need to be able to listen with an open ear. You need to be able to hear what the fuck is going on and be knowing like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Because some people don't know how to do that.
No, they don't. And that's why I say it's a problem in hip-hop right now.
Is it a problem in hip-hop?
Yeah, because I just feel like it's not, like that's why I was like lyrics or beats, you know? I feel like what you should be saying should be like at the forefront. That's my opinion. You know what I mean? Definitely you need to have like good beats. Good beats, but it just seemed like at some point the beat was more important. And so when the beat became more important, then you really didn't have to say shit on the record. Because the beat was the important thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, well I got this dope ass beat I just paid $100K for. I can get on there and say any fucking thing and it'll sell because the beat is at the forefront.
No, I agree. And I mean, it's just a different time that we're living in. I mean, back in the day, you got to think, there wasn't no DJ Khaled. There wasn't no DJ Mustard. There wasn't no, you know what I mean? There wasn't no...
There was DJ Jazzy Jeff.
DJ who?
Jazzy Jeff.
DJ Jazzy Jeff. There was DJ Jazzy Jeff. But that was epic. Like, he was one of a kind. There wasn't a bunch of DJs out here.
I think Dr. Dre was a DJ. Didn't he make all the beats, too?
I mean, he did. And I mean, Run DMC?
Jam Master J was their DJ.
Jam Master J. So, that was already a thing, but even Rakim, Eric B., right?
Rakim
is one of my favorites, right? But I think even just looking at it now, we can't, I think
you accidentally made a valid point, which was super dope. Like, that's what I'm saying. That was dope. Because you just highlighted an era where the DJ and the music was more important than the MC.
Exactly.
And then we went lyrical. And now we're back to where the DJ is like the most important thing. That's dope. That was a good accidental point that you just made.
Because even if you look at, what is it, Salt and Pepper and Spinderella, wasn't one of them DJ or something kind of?
Spinderella, fool.
I'm just saying. I'm just keep on going forward. I'm naming all of them. Because that is, you know, that's what time we're living in. I didn't even, like you said, I accidentally made that point.
You did.
I didn't realize. Now that I'm looking at it, it did go from a time of, you know, less important to now that's more important.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can get these collaborations with all these different DJs and artists put together on one song. DJ That's a Cal- thing yeah. now. So yeah, so it's like music is different. And I think it went from a time where music isn't what it used to be. Music used to be more powerful as a tool of motivation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people don't use music to motivate their sales, their careers, mm-hmm. whatever it is they got going on. But right. I think it was more political, maybe, and it was more closely related to, like, damn, I don't want to say history, but it's more so like it was epic. You used music to actually, like, we was talking, like, I mean, think about the Supremes, think about even gangsta rap, when you talk about Dr. Dre and N.W.A., some yeah. of their music was about the time they were living in, right?
Yeah.
I think one song, you use Childish Gambino as your representation of yourself.
Yeah.
He's one artist I could say is he makes songs that kind of are current to time. Kendrick Lamar does that too.
He does, yeah.
But Childish Gambino, he made that recent song, This Is America.
Yeah.
This Is America, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. When you watch that video, you get it.
Yeah,
you're like, fuck,
you do.
What are we doing?
Like, exactly.
We're just out here doing whatever. We're just out here saying whatever, throwing shit on. We're just trying to be pop. He embodies all of that.
Yeah, he
and
does.
That's what music used to be back then. But then look at Marshmello. I wrote that down in my notes. I was like, I saw this question. I was like, oh yeah, I'm real. My son and my daughter, they love Marshmello. Like, they love that shit. And don't get me wrong, there's a song on there that I like. It's a couple of Marshmello songs that I like. He got some songs that lately I've been thinking,
Jesus
I want
Christ.
You to be happier, right? So don't get me wrong, cuz I listen to all kinds of music, right? I
right.
think most people need to just open up and listen
yeah.
to more music. They too close up. But look at that. Like, now it's a thing where, apologize for the background, but I apologize, it's a thing now where people are blending music. Everything wants to be blended with rap, because now it's trap rap, you got guitars with rap, you got EDM with rap now, and
well,
that's,
I mean,
like...
I will say with that, like, I'll defend that, because, like, I think that's
and
dope.
And I'm not shitting on it.
That's
I'm not
dope.
Shitting on it.
Yeah, because, like, I think
my
that...
My point is, more so yeah. that it's... We reached a time where music is not just about the message. Like, in a causal sense. Like, it's not just about a message for a cause anymore. And I think that's a lot of where music started. It was big where we were making statements about causes and issues that cultures were facing, black culture,
uh-huh.
racism, whatever, right?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
yeah, we still do that, but music is more about the feeling. It's all about vibes. That's the word, right? We're in vibes right now, right?
It is. That
this
is what everyone
ever.
Is throwing around. Yes.
This is a vibe, right?
Like a story, though. A story was like, you know what I'm saying? And
I agree with you.
There's some shit, though.
But now, people just want to feel good. They want to hear your song and feel really good. And like, even like a Drake. Drake is an example who, you can play that shit for anybody.
You
like,
can.
I got it. That dude, hands down, I that dude, I got to give him one of the greatest. Like, and I he's not lyrically one of the greatest. I just don't know how he puts this shit together. But, like, I could damn sure play any Drake song in front of my mama. Any day. My mama's a big square. You know that.
I know
so,
that. I know, Auntie.
I'm saying,
yes.
She don't like that. She called it noise. She be like, oh, why you gotta play this noise?
Right.
She'll play Drake. She likes the beat. Then she likes his... He'll come on from singing and all that old shit. And and he makes... You can play that with anybody. I can play some Drake with my boys, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it comes back to talking about versatility. People care more about being able to adjust and being able to, like, listen to, I'm going to pick up this chick. Can I play some Drake? Yeah. I'm going to pick up my boys and we're going out. I'm going to play some Drake so we can get pumped and go out, right?
I would argue that Drake has, like, he has it's a story with his songs. And whether people you like Drake or not, like, he talks about topics that everyone has been through. He has that one song.
He is the most relevant artist.
Yeah.
Is he not?
Like Marvin's Room, where he talking about, like, you get drunk and you call your ex and... You get mad because you don't want to come up. Like, every dude, every motherfucker then got drunk and did that stupid shit. Like, exactly. Whether they admit it or not.
That's his key, though. He knows that. That's his bread and butter. Yeah. Relevant. He's like the best at that shit. And I tell people all the time, I laugh about it. I say, don't drink and drive. Be careful with that.
Yeah.
Because
you'll have to end up crying.
He's so emotional. Yeah, you driving down the street thinking about your fifth grade lover.
Yeah.
You probably have an accident.
Pull up to her house.
like, what's going on? I don't know. I'm listening to Drake all day, and I just can't stop thinking about you.
That's hella funny.
What?
All right, so.
It's a different time, cuz. There's a lot of different stuff going on.
I want to switch gears just a little bit. So, I know we talked about on your podcast how when the coronavirus was first coming out, you was like, oh, am I worried? And I was like, no, I'm not worried because I don't know what I should be afraid of, right? And so,
wait,
like,
what was the analogy? I wanted to hear that.
It was the analogy I say is like you're at an amusement park and everyone's running in one direction, and then when you finally see what they're running from, it's a cat, and so. You're just like, am I afraid of this cat? I don't know if I'm afraid of it. I'm like, I'm not afraid of this cat because I don't know what's going on. So I can't run because I could run the wrong way. But like, you guys are running from this cat, which doesn't seem that fucking scary. Right?
But maybe, like you said, maybe they know something you don't know about
Yes,
this cat.
And it turns out the cat had rabies and it was fucking niggas up. So
you need to get the fuck away from that cat.
So, but like, at that time when we talked about it, everyone was afraid, right? And so, like, because we didn't know shit. Now it's like,
I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
At that time, people were still paying attention to fucking brooms, dude. They were still like, I mean, for real. Like, I'm serious. Like, people were still coming into my barbershop talking about, did you know the brooms are standing up right now? Motherfucker. Did you know they always did that? Motherfucker.
But, like, now it's like, we have like two countries of what can happen if we don't take this serious, right? And people are not taking it serious. Two countries. Like, we got China, they went through it, and Italy is currently in the fucking shit right now.
Oh, they're in turmoil. They're in the stoop.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we have an opportunity to kind of like, they say flatten the curve, but like, you just sent me some shit, and I had to look it up and down the videos.
Boy sent me some shit.
It was a party. It was a sideshow in the town. And I'm just like,
same thing going on in it was the same thing in LA last night.
That's crazy.
I just got a picture from my partner today.
That's crazy.
Sideshows all over.
That's crazy. And so like, the shit has a 2-week incubation, so like, half of them could be sick and not know it for another 2 weeks.
Yeah. Gavin Newsom already said half of California is gonna get sick. So you know what that means? That means I'm sitting in the kitchen with my wife. I gotta say, well, shit, one of us is hit, bitch. Like, one of us is hit. Like, for real shit, though. Like, that means half of everybody is gonna get it. So you with your friends, you just know one of y'all is down.
One of y'all's down.
That's the statistic. I mean, if you're sitting with somebody right now, the statistics are one of y'all motherfuckers got that.
If you in California, there's two people in the room. When y'all gonna get sick?
I'm gonna let a senior go give it to each other. We're fucked.
Yeah.
It's crazy because they started off. I mean, this is the wildest shit I've ever seen, man. They started off saying that the kids were good. Like, hey, man, you're young. You got a strong immune system. Don't worry about that shit, man. You're solid. And it's just old people to be on the watch out. And then, you know, they come with a new report like a days later. They're like, well, you know what? We could be carriers and not even know it.
Yep.
So, I'm a barber. You know, our industry was affected, I think, the most interestingly, because we're at a time when worldwide, we know there's like 20,000 deaths already or so shit. Like, nations are being shut the fuck down.
Yeah.
The Olympics is canceled. We've never seen a time like this. Mind you, all while this is going on, Brandon, people still want to be glamorous.
Someone hit me today. It was like, yo, can I slide through the house and get a cut? And I was like, what? My house?
And they lean on you. You know what I feel like? I take it too far. I'm extremist, right? But people ask me shit like that. What I feel like is hey, C, fuck you and your kids and your family, man. You make me look good. And it's like, damn, dog. I know that's not what you're saying.
That's hella extreme, dog.
You don't know shit about this fucking disease. And you ain't throwing me no insurance or no. Like, what if I get it? What if I come cut your hair and my daughter gets sick? God damn. Like, for you to be pretty at work today, and you ain't even going nowhere.
I was about to say, they in the house.
Where the fuck are you going? Hey, I ain't never seen, these are the most miserable people in the world, Brandon. These motherfuckers, they can't stand looking shitty in the mirror at home. That's crazy. It's the times, man. And so, you know, it got me feeling bad because I'm like, well, shit, I don't know what we're dealing with. I can't just be taking chances.
Right.
And they serious.
No, they
you know,
serious.
I got a client. He was like, well, if I give you, you know, if you need me to pay extra, let me know. Like, they trying to put the guilt trip on me and make me think about it. Like, nigga.
Right. Right. That's hella funny.
Ain't no. And so, yeah, it's just interesting that we went from a time where people were mildly worried about it, and they're like, oh, you heard about that, to, oh, shit, they shutting down New York, to, oh, shit, it's out here in California, nigga. But I don't think that. I remember I was at the store buying toilet paper. And
of course,
I
you're buying toilet paper.
I beat everybody. And this black lady was in the store. She saw all my shit on the counter, right? She saw the toilet paper. She saw the noodles. I had like hand sanitizer, I had like all miscellaneous type of shit. And I was like, okay, this girl, I don't need this.
Yeah.
She behind me on the phone, and she telling her, she on the phone, she like, girl, they really buying all this shit. This shit is stupid. They act like black people gonna get it.
I heard that. I heard someone, some hotep dude was like, black people can't get sick. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Why do black people do that, Brandon?
Like, I'm in Seattle
why
right
do
now.
Do that?
Black people getting sick. Like, it's happening.
Why do black people do that, Brandon?
You in the bathroom, dog? That's what you're doing?
Black people always act like that shit ain't going to take you. Like, oh, that's life. We good. You know, niggas is impenetrable. Niggas is motherfucking special. What? How special are we? I'm just trying to figure it out, right? Because I always hear that. I always hear that black people are going to be okay. That's not going to be us. And then Idris Elba get it, and my brother was like, oh, shit, we in trouble. Yeah, nigga. You in trouble from the gate. Like, it's just crazy, man. And now, you know, you got, it's just real interesting. Because I was talking to a friend of mine's grandmother the other day. You got people losing their mind about not being able to get their hair cut, not being able to get their nails done. My girl was saying something about that, not being able to get her nails done. That's
you better
crazy.
Do them nails, B.
Then,
you got to do them nails.
She wearing my nails, and she ain't even going nowhere.
That's your
like,
job.
What?
File them nails, AC. File them nails,
man.
I'm not a
beautician. And so, I don't got time for that shit. I told her, you know, she knows I don't like them long-ass Nicki Minaj dumb nails anyway. I don't like that shit. I'm not into that shit. So, I like realness, cuz. But my point is, people is losing their mind over all this shit, right? And at the end of the day, my friend's grandmother was like, you know what? It's all about perspective. You could be worried and, you know, this, that, and the other. It could be a crazy time. But, you know what people always are saying? You ask them about, why don't they work on this? Why don't they spend more time with their kids? Why don't you finish that thing you started or whatever? Why don't you work out? Oh, I don't got time. You know, I always got to be doing that. Now you got time. Now you got free time. You got all the time in the world to spend with your family, to spend with your girl and work on your relationship, to master and perfect that craft that you've been bullshitting on because you've been working too much at work and ain't had no time. That's been your excuse. Now you got time. You know? And so I think people have to really change their perspective. I'm not one who really, you know, because we had a whole other episode about Jesus and God and my spirituality, right? But I'm not the most biblical person. So, you know, those people that are out there like pulling out revelations and they're like, this is the, remember he talked about this. This is going on crazy in Africa right now too. So they're like, this is the end of the world and da da da. And I'm like, well, I ain't trying to go all biblical. But right. I think there are greater things always at play in the world. I believe in energy. I believe in the universe having some type of control over the outcome of things.
Right.
And I think maybe as a race, right, we have totally become detached with what the fuck is important. Maybe on an individual level, maybe on a society level, we have all lost that. We over here running around with these phones and devices, and now we're stuck in the house with, like, that's crazy. Nobody in the history of time, bro, in human history, has ever had this much off time, free time from work, no sports, no, and people are losing their fucking mind. To me, that's a sign that people are imbalanced, because you have time for self, and it's making you nutty. That shouldn't be happening. You should be, I get it. Most people are like in pandemonium. They're like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I? But these are the same people that are like, trust in God, have faith.
Right, right.
So I'm confused, because you guys have all this like trust and belief in the higher power, and then now you're like, you're up against it. You have no choice to think the worst. And it's like, just live. What can you do, right?
That's how I feel. I mean, outside of the whole, like, every, like, the belief is like, what can you actually do? You can't do anything.
How many times have you heard that, cuz?
What?
The serenity prayer. You know, give me the serenity to change, to accept the things I can't change, right? And then you done heard my mother say, well, you know, don't stress over shit you can't do nothing about. Where they at right now?
They're scared. That's what they do. They're scared.
And that don't make no sense. See, this is the time I've heard let go and let God. Why ain't nobody posting that? Mother was at the house tripping out, and whether you believe in God or not, there's really nothing you can do. You don't know. You know, my mom, she's a nurse. She got a little cold, a little minor cold. I was like, oh shit, she didn't tell me. I was like, mom, what's going on?
She got that Rona. Auntie got that Rona.
I'm for real. I'm like, mom, I don't want you going to work. You know, the hospital is the most dangerous place. And, you know, she was against it. She's like, ah, I don't know, I'm just going, you know. And I'm like, all right, mom, you don't gotta go. And so she come up with a cold. She's feeling better. She's not still, you know, y'all pray for my mom out there. I appreciate all y'all listening. But at the end of the day, she's feeling better. I just tell her, we gotta be mindful, man. What are we risking? What's important to us? Don't put nothing over life and, you know, happiness and, don't nobody know.
Hey, see, you know what's funny? It's like you just insulted half the listeners' belief systems and then asked them to pray for you. This is the craziest shit I've ever heard.
Hey, I mean, I only got insulted. I'm just saying, because it's interesting. I thought those people that are like, to me, they're non-believers.
Right.
To me, they're not real. Right. You sit there, for real, you sit there and say, you know, don't stress over nothing that you can't do nothing about. Just trust in God and da da da. And everybody is pulling their fucking hair out. They're just trying to get some money right now. They just, you know, and you hear all these crazy things. You got child support. You can't get no stimulus check. They just X you off the list. So there's so many people that's going to be in a little bit of pandemonium, right? But I say that because, like, there's so much going on with this coronavirus. I have a friend in LA, and he's a little like paranoid to the point where he doesn't even want to think the worst. So he'll just tell you, bro, this is going to be over before you know it, and won't nobody remember it happened. He says that's a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, think about, you know, my kids' school, they out for the rest of the school.
That's crazy. I heard that. I was like, what?
So it's like, you look at it, it's like, some people are asking the question, when is this social distancing going to be over? Nigga, when do you think? Like, realistically, what we're talking about is historical. It's unseen. I don't think nobody can predict that kind of thing. Social distancing should be a life skill you teach your children now.
It's going to have to be.
It's new shit. It's kind of intense, man.
So we're gonna have to wind down. I like to wind down with a few questions. First question is, how do you like your coffee?
All right, I was waiting for this. I thought you were gonna start with this one, and that's cool that you didn't.
Nah.
But I like Starbucks caramel frappuccino.
Oh my god! Frappuccino is not a coffee. It's a milkshake. It's a milkshake.
I knew you were gonna chew me up on this.
Oh my god! So, fucking sugar fiend.
I like Starbucks. Listen, Starbucks Caramel Frappuccino or Starbucks Caramel Ribbon Crunch. Or, you ready?
Why don't you just eat a fucking candy bar?
Are you ready?
Let me hear it.
Or any store bought or 7-Eleven, hot and ready, just add water, non-decaf. I want it with hella sugar and a nice amount of creamer. Like my mom always says, I like a little bit of coffee with my sugar.
That's exactly what it is. You, at this point, you might as well just have a Coca-Cola. You don't even want any coffee. You just want brown sugar drink. That's what you want. That's what you want.
I was waiting for this because I know you are a respected coffee drinker.
I love coffee.
You're going to be totally slapped in the face when you heard my preference.
Because you like a milkshake. Like, I'm asking you about coffee. You tell me about a milkshake and a candy bar. That's it. That's what you told me.
That's what I told you guys.
That's what you told me. Caramel ribbon crunch. Nothing says coffee like caramel ribbon crunch. Okay. Nick.
For real.
Next
for
question. Real. What's your favorite pie?
I would have to say my mom's sweet potato. You know, she makes
Yeah, that's just good. That's just good.
Only on holiday time.
That's good.
I'm not really a pie guy.
You like cake over pie?
Hold on. What do you like pie? What kind of pie do you like? I want the listeners to know your preference.
Peach cobbler. That's my shit.
Oh, okay. And yeah. You are a baker, so yeah. You probably make the best one.
Nah, my wife makes it. But no, that shit's good. Oh. Peach cobbler is the shit.
Okay.
High dogs. High dog. Coffee?
Are we going to shout out your coffee?
Oh, black coffee. Straight up.
Black coffee.
Yeah, I don't need nothing in it.
How do you like their coffee? Usually,
just
you
black.
Like espresso. You like black.
Black coffee. I'll brew some black coffee. I'll do a pour over or I'll do a French press. Right now, my favorite region is a Mexican macabre. It's super good. It's
I used to be a barista. So I know what you're talking about.
You wasn't no goddamn barista.
Okay, I wasn't a barista. I used to work at a store. Like Costco in Virginia. And you know how Costco got them vendors? And I was a vendor, but we ground fresh beans up for people and we served them and we didn't serve hot coffee. We ground up bags of coffee.
That's not a barista. That's the furthest thing from a barista.
I know, man. I just want to put my little 2 cents in, all right? I know about Blue Jamaican. I know about Peruvian. I know about Colombian coffee. I just want to sound intelligible real quick.
All right, last question. Hot dog or hamburger?
I can say a hamburger, man. I never in my life been a hot dog guy. I'm going to tell you why.
Let me hear it.
I fucking cannot. When I learned that hot dogs were meat encased in whatever meat or whatever that is, that was a very foreign, weird, bizarre, offsetting visual idea for me. Like,
okay,
we just put a sleeve and we just
stuff meat inside. Yes. Oh, looks like his call dropped. But we were trying to record via phone during the coronavirus outbreak. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on this episode. It was fun. AC is, he's crazy. He's my little cousin and I love him. Thank you for joining us. We should be back. I don't know when we're going to be back, but we're going to have another episode for you guys real soon. Take care.